Hi. We're wrapping up a series on hope this week that we've used to ramp up to this. My hope today is that I can have this little talk with my voice still working and not having a coughing fit. By saying, the devil, if but hopefully we can get through this. But we're talking about hope, and Mike has been looking at it from the first century and how this resonated in the early church. I'm looking at this from our current 21st century and, you know, kind of comparing and contrasting some of the culture. And the question that we asked early on in the part I did is our current culture an obstacle to ministry or an opportunity to ministry? And hopefully what we're going to look at today is how things that might look like an obstacle is actually an opportunity. Because we're just going to bang through a few things quick that I think kind of capture the different facets of our current culture. And we're going to start by looking at the way that our modern churches have often tried to deal with these realities in our societies and in our communities, and to look at the natural responses that they've had. So, for instance, one of the things that I think we'll agree on is that in today we have an addiction to pleasure and entertainment. So the way a lot of churches have responded is provide more pleasure and entertainment. I've seen that. I actually attended a service a couple of years ago, and I was just blown away by how glitzy it was and choreographed. And I mean, they had the colors and the lights, and I mean, it was phenomenal entertainment. I felt like I should have like bought a ticket for it, and it was crazy. But that's what often they do. In today's, the inability to tolerate pain or tension. So what churches, I believe, have been tempted to do is create a safe space, an artificial bubble where everything is rainbows and unicorns. And what they try to do, they don't want to challenge anybody or, God forbid, you trigger anybody. So they shave all the sharp edges off of their message. And they try to make things very non-controversial and non-threatening. A third thing that I think we see in our current culture is people have short attention spans. So again, the natural response to that is to accommodate that. So they reduce their services to sound bites, and they try to just clip through things and hit the high notes, and they don't really delve into anything. A fourth issue that we deal with today is people are geared towards instant gratification. So what better thing than to promise instant gratification? So what they end up doing is focusing on the here and now instead of the hereafter. They try to talk about only what God will do for them in the short term and not look at the long term to balance that out. And unfortunately, what my personal experience was in ministries like that is you end up having winners and losers. Oh, if you happen to be doing good, well, you're being blessed. And if you're not doing so good, oh, you're not being blessed. Maybe you're being cursed. And it always boils back to, well, I guess your faith must be weak or you must be doing something wrong. And I don't think that lines up with what the Bible says. Yet another issue that we deal with, people today, I think, have a lack of purpose. They have a lack of community, a feeling of uselessness. So what I've seen happen today is churches turn that self-serving actually into a virtue. They try to reinforce that and say, oh, but that's okay. That's a good thing. So you don't need to change. You just, you know, that's the common condition, but run with it. Yet another challenge is I believe people today more than ever, I just talk to people and I'm They all seem to have an awareness of life's futility and fatality. A lot of people, just normal people, have this feeling of this impending doom or kind of a black cloud on the horizon. So instead of addressing that head on, I've seen a lot of ministries that they don't face reality or try to improve reality. They just want to, again, go to their happy space and deny reality because they don't really have a solution to offer for that. So with all of those observations, and again, none of this is meant to be judgmental. It's simply observational. We're not blowing up these places, but just trying to show how the temptation is to incorporate the current culture instead of challenge it. And that's why what we're talking about is delivering a message of hope. Because the message that we offer as a church community, properly understood, our message is a message of hope. It's a message of grace. And that message, properly understood, resonates tremendously in today's culture. For instance, people are addicted to pleasure and entertainment, but what we believe is the attraction of interaction is better than distraction. Amen. See, I always like throwing iteration in there because I know Mike loves that stuff. What this means in English is people are addicted to pleasure and entertainment because that is attractive because it's a distraction. I don't want to deal with reality, so I'm just going to distract myself with all this noise and all this busyness. But what we offer is, if we can go to that next slide there, Jonathan, what we offer, thank you, is what we offer attraction of interaction, community, where we can come together. The next thing is an inability to tolerate pain or tension. And learn is in here is to learn how to hold reality in one hand and heaven in the other. How we can hold tension and also hold on to the grace we've been given. It's not mutually exclusive. How we can match calamity and serenity, and how we can stand in that gap and have both. It doesn't have to be either or. And the way we can enjoy that is we teach patience and perseverance, not just avoidance. Yet another issue, dealing with the issue of short attention spans. Our message helps people to learn to be still, to become helios, because that's how God is, to rest, to find a place to rest. Another issue towards instant gratification. We learn to differentiate between now and then. We learn to not just focus on the here and now, but to focus on the hope of heaven and to focus on God's commitments to us. And that's, again, the beauty of our message is we have delayed gratification, not no gratification. Another issue is with lack of community, a feeling of uselessness. So what we do here is we learn to serve one another in community with love. So, and people need to give. It's a human, God-given need to serve. It's hardwired into us. And if we don't create opportunities to do that, even if we have a good inlet, we also need a good outlet because we're channels. Another part of this is we talked about the, people's awareness of life's... From the foundations of this church, we've had foundational beliefs. And a few of those are we've always taught that there is a lost world around us. That's our reality. But we've also taught that God's Spirit is inside of us and that heaven is in front of us. It's okay to be real. And that's the beauty of the message, is that we don't have to deny reality and we don't have to make it a perfect place and change all reality. We learn how to live with conflict intention, and we can be real with God. We can acknowledge what's going on, but we can find a place to be comfortable with that. Yet another challenge we mentioned is people have a sense of entitlement. They lack charity. But there's a reason, because you can't give away something you haven't got. And that's why, again, we focus on God's commitments, how we can receive these things, so then we can become a transmitter of them. And that's where we don't offer entitlement, we offer enlightenment. We offer transformation, change from the inside out. The Bible says we love because He first loved us. And finally, we talked about polarization, exclusive versus inclusive, a divided society. I think everybody is keenly aware of that. You can't talk about anything anymore without somebody flipping out, no, take the, now we're opposed, now we can't be friends. And the offer is inclusion, because we're always seeking that common ground. When we get past the politics and past the economics and the social stuff, we're all human beings. We're all lost sheep in search of a shepherd. We all have this stuff in common. And when we focus on our commonalities instead of our differences, what we find is find inclusion, not exclusion. Because a lot of times, what these churches form is kind of a holy huddle for the frozen chosen. And then they try to say, but our holy huddle is better than their holy huddle. And they feed on that. But what we're trying to create here is a community where we're, and like we often say at Hope, we're all here because we're not all there. But we all have that in common, because that's the human condition, not unique to us. So, with all that said, it brings up our foundational mission at Hope. It has always been to build encouraging communities where seekers are equipped to express new covenant faith through love. And I believe that properly packaged and properly presented, we have a unique message that resonates with everyone. And we rely on attraction rather than promotion to communicate that message. And so it's good if people eat healthy food instead of junk food, but it's not so good if you shove it down their throats. And that's why I say properly packaged and properly presented. It's not that that's the magic formula, but it's a necessary component in attracting people to this, because this is truly what people need. And if we communicate it properly, I believe it will also become exactly what they want.
Briefly, Hope Church was founded on two beliefs. First, that Jesus died to terminate the old covenant and to inaugurate the new covenant. Jesus died to terminate the old covenant and inaugurate the new when He died and rose from the dead. The old covenant died and the new covenant was born. Paul writes, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. God forgave our sins. How did He do that? God forgave our sins by canceling the law that the delineation of sins was based upon. He ended up abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments. He canceled the old covenant by nailing it to the cross and inaugurated the new covenant. So that's first. And second, is that the church's responsibility is to proclaim the gospel of the new covenant, the church's responsibility is to proclaim the message that Jesus came to proclaim. And that is that the old covenant has been terminated. And it's been replaced by the new. And that's the message he would have us to carry. Because that's the message that God speaks. And he spoke through Jesus when he was here. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. And it wasn't just for him. But it says, he has made us. Us. Competent as ministers of a new covenant. Us. That's the message that we've been given. It's the message that we're to pass on. Paul saw himself as a minister of the new covenant. He also saw himself as a steward and a servant. Look what it says. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things or the mysteries of God. Those entrusted literally as stewards. A steward in the first century was a slave who had been given management responsibilities to distribute goods on behalf of the master to the other slave. So he was somebody that kind of lived in between the master and his fellow slaves. His job was to get provisions from the master and give these provisions to other slaves. And he was remunerated for that. And as Paul says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust, it's required that a steward must be found faithful. Stewards are judged by their faithfulness in distributing the goods they had received. If I'm the master and you are a steward, I give you things, and I will hold you accountable for taking these things from me and distributing them to the other servants. That's the way it works. If the steward gets this from the master, he must give this to the slaves. That's the way it works, in order to be faithful. It's not okay to get this from the master and give that to the slaves. It's not okay. It's not faithfulness. It's not okay to get this from the master and to give a little of this and a little of that to the other servants. What has God given us in order that we might get it from him and give it to others? What has he given us? That's a good question, isn't it? If we don't know what we've been given, it's hard to be faithful if we're not clear about what this faithfulness is all about. I think Jesus answers the question for us. Here's what he said. I gave them the words that you gave me. The Father gave words to the Son. The Son gives words to stewards. Words about a new covenant to distribute to other servants. Paul says he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter. Not the letter of the law. Not the letter of the old covenant, but the Spirit. For the letter kills. Spirit reflected in the new covenant gives life. We've been given words, the message of the new covenant. We're responsible to be faithful, to give the message that has been given to us. You know what? It's tempting to judge the success or failure of a church based on indicators such as programs, involvement, giving, and attendance. Paul cautions us not to do that. He says in verse 5, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. You know what he'll do? He'll, I think, say, these are the words that I gave you. Well done. You gave these words to other people. You're faithful. That's what a steward is. In the case of changing the words to give somebody better words, that constitutes a lack of faithfulness. It's natural to judge a church by nickels and noses. When Jesus comes, great praise will be given based on faithfulness to steward his words. When Jesus comes, praise will be based on faithfulness to steward what he's given us. What has he given us? Words. Revelations from the Father. He's told us what the Father thinks and what the Father is saying. What is the Father saying? He's speaking the new covenant through us to the world. So we'll continue to do what we've done for 30 years. As best we can, proclaim the gospel of the new covenant, because that's the strength of hope. Here, pray for us. Father, thank you for your purposes and your promises. Thanks for Jesus and him coming to terminate the old covenant and to inaugurate the new. And you have placed churches as stewards of the words that you gave to the Son and the Son gives to other stewards and servants. Continue to help us to do what we can with the resources, both human and material, that you give us. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.